What a wonderful song. Turn with me now, if you would, to the book of Boaz, also known as Ruth. Having a Bible study on husbands, love your wives. That's what our Bible study was just on. Husbands, love your wives. That made me think of a great story that God recorded in His Word of one particular man and his love for a woman who was made to be his wife. This story is told over the course of four chapters. So we're going to skim all four chapters, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Ask the Lord to give you a special attention. I have to move quickly, but I pray the Lord will make it to be a blessing. I want to look at the whole story, not part of the story. I want to look at it start to finish, the whole story. So I pray the Lord will open it up to us and help us. This story begins with a family. A man named Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their sons Mahlon and Chilion. A family. A family who lived in Bethlehem, Judah. The house of bread. That's what Bethlehem, Judah means. But a famine came, and this family made the decision to leave the house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah, to move to Moab, the land of the incestual son of Lot. You got Abraham and Lot. Lot's incestual son, Moab. Now that is a spiritual picture of the fact that all of mankind has fallen into sin. That's what this story is. It's a spiritual picture. We're going to look at as we go through it, this is a physical story, and we're going to dwell on a spiritual picture. This family went down into Moab just like man fell down into sin. And that move downward ruined both of them. And I could spend hours talking about man's ruin in sin, but I don't have time. Suffice it to say, it ruined them. It ruined this family physically, and it ruined all of mankind spiritually. Look with me at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, they all died. Everything was ruined. That's what happened when man fell into sin. He became ruined to the point that he died. That's what happened to mankind when he fell in the garden and sinned against God. He did not receive a slap on the wrist being sent on his way. He died. He spiritually died. Now, if there was no gospel, If there was no glorious news of Christ, the story would stop right there. That'd be the end. We would close the book and we'd go home. Say, we'd go down and eat. Y'all, let's all go eat. We would declare that God created man in his goodness. Man began walking uprightly in the goodness of the Lord, dwelling in the land of God's favor and provision. Man was a living soul, dwelling with God in the house of bread. But because of the wickedness of man's heart, he rebelled against God, and he fell into sin, and he died. And if there was no but God, the story would end right there. But God. Do you not adore those two words? But God. Naomi going down into Moab with her husband. It does represent man's fall into sin. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It also represents God's goodness in going down into the cesspool of sin where his people were so he could deliver his people out. She went down into Moab. While Naomi was down there in Moab, she was united with, and she became the helper and the guider of a woman named Ruth. Naomi had to go down to Moab. She had to get Ruth out. She had to call Ruth out. So through the rest of this story, Naomi is going to lead Ruth and point Ruth in the one direction that she needs to go. Therefore, I want us to see her to be a picture of God's Holy Spirit. That's what she is. The Holy Spirit of God who comes and gets God's people and calls them out. Brings them out of that horrible place where they are and leads them to liberty. Leads them to redemption. God's Spirit does that by making his people willing in the day of his power to go. Look with me at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. This is what she told them. She said, Daughter-in-laws, I'm leaving here. And following me brings no promise of worldly gain. I don't have any more sons for you. You stay here, you find husbands here. If you're searching for the riches that this world can offer you, you need to stay here. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. She said, Your sister-in-law is gone back. Will you go away also? This is what the Spirit says to the called sinner. Will you go away also? And Ruth, representing a chosen, called child of God, one who has been given a heart to hear this and respond to the work of God created in her. This is what she said. Verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." She said, "Please don't ask me if I want to leave you ever again." She said, "For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Has the Spirit of God provoked us to say that with Ruth? Can we say with Ruth, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after. I want to dwell with you. I want to follow you. I want to be with you." Verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi," that means pleasant, "call me Mara," that means bitter, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." The Spirit is the one who takes the declaration of the gospel and reveals it to the sinner. First, the sinner hears about substitution. Okay? This sinner, in just a moment, is going to experience something called substitution. But first, the child of God hears about substitution. And the Spirit of God reveals what God did for His people, His substitution. If we want to know what the gospel is, it's substitution and satisfaction. Christ being made the substitute for His people, and in the process, satisfying God on their behalf. That is revealed by the Holy Spirit through the declaration of this right here. This is what the Spirit reveals. "The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Verse 21, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" That is the declaration of substitution. That is the glorious announcement and revelation of the gospel, that God's chosen people hear and through that declaration are called out of darkness into His light. If God would reveal that, if God would bless it and God would reveal that, it would open blind eyes. Through that declaration, God's people are brought to this place right here. Verse 22. "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." They came to a place where food was thriving and plentiful. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Every time I hear this name Boaz, something happens in me. Once you learn who this man is, honestly, once you realize who this man represents, doesn't it thrill your heart to just hear his name? At the hearing of that name, aren't you humbled? What a precious name. What a sweet name. What a powerful name. This mighty man of wealth represents our Savior, our Defender, our Redeemer, our Friend, Jesus Christ our Lord. Naomi represents God's Holy Spirit. Boaz represents God's Holy Son. And Ruth represents God's chosen sinner who's about to be saved. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." Ruth said, "Let me see if I can go find a field where the owner will let me beg from it. Let me glean from it." And Naomi said, "Go. You go." This is God's path of providence and predestination, that the Spirit of God instructs the chosen sinner to walk in. Yes, you go that way. You go. In predestinated persuasion, the Spirit said, Naomi said, "You go right there." Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. It just so happened Naomi led Ruth to the field of Boaz. And for every chosen sinner, the Spirit of God leads that sinner to one field. The field of Christ. Not any other field. Not any of the other fields of religion. The field of Jesus Christ alone. Verse 4 says, "And Boaz came from Bethlehem." What a picture of Christ he is. He came from Bethlehem. "And said unto the reapers," the preachers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." That's what happens in preaching. The Lord is with them. And their message is, "The Lord bless you." Verse 5. "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers," whose damsel is this? "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.' And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, 'Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn.' Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, 'Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" Boaz, representing Christ, saw her, spoke to her, and declared grace to her before she ever saw him or did anything to try to win his favor. Every bit of that grace and kindness shown to her was of him. It was all of him. Verse 10, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, 'Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?'" That's what happens to God's people. It's not a lifting up, it's a humbling down when God reveals these things. All of a sudden, she has realized something. When grace comes to a sinner, It causes them to see who they are and what they are, and see who he is and what he is. And they cry, "I'm a beggar." She saw she's a beggar in his field. And she was unworthy of being there because she's a stranger. A heathen before him. That's what stranger means. And she said the same thing that every child of God says when they realize who they are and who Christ is and what kindness and mercy and grace he has shown to them. She said in verse 10, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me?" Why me? Before God reveals the truth of who Christ is and the truth of who a sinner is, everybody thinks, why not me? Why not me? But once they see his holiness and once they see their own sinfulness, they honestly say, why me? Why would you do this for me? I know, I acknowledge what I am before you. Why me? Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." He said, it's because a righteousness has been laid on you. He said, it's because of who you've been brought to trust in. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid." That word friendly means to my heart. You've spoken to my heart. "Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." You know what that means? That means she's fallen in love with him. You're speaking to my heart. That's what all of God's people do. Seeing his love and his kindness, they fall in love with Christ. They truly fall in love with Christ. She said, "You've spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one unto one of thine handmaids. Verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. She sat by the preachers and he fed her. And that's what happens in the life of God's people. They sit by the word of God being preached and Christ feeds his people. Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not." He said, "You let her glean anywhere she wants to glean." Verse 16. "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not." I would love to spend the rest of the day on this verse. But what he was telling his preachers was, his reapers was, as you're sitting there gathering, you drop piles behind you. Handfuls of purpose. And do not say to her, "You're not allowed to touch that." Not only do you let her glean wherever she wants to glean in my field, you pour grace on top of grace and rebuke her not. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she said, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had received after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And I can only imagine Naomi's response. Naomi said unto her, "Daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." The margin says, "He's the one who has the right to redeem." Naomi said, "Ruth, do you realize where you ended up? You ended up in the field of the only man who has the right to redeem you." What she said was, "Welcome to the gospel, Ruth. Welcome to the gospel." Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Isn't that what the Spirit says to God's people? "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. Put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." The Spirit of God makes the child of God ready, adorns everything that's needed to make the child of God acceptable, and then sends the child to Christ. And that sinner is willing in the day of the Spirit's power. Verse 5 says, "She said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down." She came humbly, quietly, lowly. "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch that thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." She went in, and she uncovered that skirt and laid down, and this is what she was saying to him: "Will you have me?" And that's what every child of God says to the Lord Jesus Christ. In humility, there is no arrogance in approaching him. "Will you have me?" She said, "I love you. I need you. You are the only one who can redeem me." That's what the sinner cries to Christ. "You're the only one who can redeem me. Will you have me? Will you please have me for your own?" Verse 10. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." That is God's holy law. God's law has to be satisfied first before any redemption can take place. If we get anything this morning, get this. God does not sweep sin under the rug. God does not just look at a sinful soul and say, you know what? Why not? God is holy, and He cannot do that. He cannot do that. The law has to be satisfied. The law has to say worthy, acceptable. Yes, has to say perfect. Come on in. Verse 13. He said, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. He said, Ruth, everything concerning you is going to have to be examined. And this is the case for every soul here. Everything concerning you is going to be examined. Have you ever sinned or not? That's what the law wants to know. Have you sinned or not? Here's the answer. Yes. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. If the law looks at a person and says, there's no sin here. You are worthy of redemption. He said, great. That's wonderful. Come on in. But if the law looks at you and says, you are unworthy to enter into heaven because you have committed sin. You are a sinner against God. Unworthy of redemption. He said, if the law says that, I will step in. I give you my word. He said, as the Lord liveth, you just lie down and rest. Verse 14. And she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Christ gave that sinner fruit to bring back to the Holy Spirit. What was that fruit? Faith. To believe on Christ. The faith of Christ. When faith is given, it comes from Christ. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe on Christ. That's the promise. That's the down payment. What's it called in Ephesians? The earnest. I'll do this for you. Faith in Christ. Verse 17. She said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, I can't pass over this. This is my favorite verse in the whole thing. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. This is the cry of God's Spirit to every elect sinner. You sit still. It is going to be proven to you that it is finished. Your redemption is about to draw nigh. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up. Our Lord said, if I be lifted up, if Boaz is lifted up, redemption is coming. Verse 4 says, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by the law, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. Christ had a meeting with the law. A transaction is about to be made between Christ and the law. If you want to know how salvation took place, it's right here. Christ had a meeting with the law. Verse 3, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. The law said, I will do what is right and honorable by the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever the Spirit requires, that's right by me. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. He said, the Spirit is bringing a chosen sinner to this equation. An elect sinner is going to be brought into this transaction. And if you can justify this sinner and redeem this sinner, then do it. Verse 6. And the kinsman said, the law said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. The law cannot clear a guilty sinner. You know what that means? We don't go to heaven by obeying the law. That's what it means. We don't get to heaven by doing the do's and don'ts of the Bible. We have done nothing but sin against the do's and the don'ts of the Bible. If we did them, great. But we haven't. Therefore, the law cannot clear any of us. The law cannot mar its holiness by saying, I will accept sin. It cannot justify, it cannot claim, it cannot own, it cannot redeem. So in what the law could not do, Christ said, I'll do it. I will mar myself. I will pay this price that nothing and no one else can pay. And that's what Christ gave for the redemption of his people. It was a price that nothing and no one else could pay. He gave his reputation. He gave his place. He gave all the riches of heaven. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He gave his body, he gave his blood, he gave his life, he gave himself. That's what only he could give. The spotless, holy Lamb of God gave himself for the redemption of his people. Verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. That's how they operated back then. That was their promise. A man would pluck off his shoe and say, this is now yours. And it was a promise. It was a covenant of promise. Boaz said, I promise before God and all these witnesses, I'll do it. I'll take her to have and to hold from this day forward. Verse 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. The promise was fulfilled. The transaction was complete. And the cry concerning redeemed Ruth was, free from the law. O happy condition. The Lord Jesus bled and there's remission. Cursed by the law. Bruised by the fall. But Boaz redeemed me once for all. Verse 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of this place you are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. That is a husband's love in the redemption of his bride. That's what Christ did for us. Through the guidance of God's Spirit, we were brought to the love of our Redeemer and the union of our Redeemer and the fruit of that union with our Redeemer. And I love the thought of this. Every time that I see Irene with Weston, I think of this. Look at verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. David was the great grandson of Ruth. And can't you see Ruth bouncing David on her knee saying, let me tell you the story of my Redeemer. Can't you see that? That's what all of God's people do. That's what we're doing today. Telling the story of our Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. Don't we all sing of his love? Thank God. What a love it is. Thank God. Now, before Brother Eddie comes to close a song for us, while we sing, if any of you ladies need to go make things ready downstairs, you're welcome to do that. And then after the song, I've asked Brother Cody Henson if he would come up and lead us in prayer and give thanks for the food. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.